Hello and welcome to Social Media Weekly episode 5th January 2022. Social Media Weekly is brought to you by Virtual Palace Marketing. Get your very own corporate website built from as low as $100 with Virtual Palace Marketing today. Terms and conditions apply. The platform is super easy to maintain and comes with state-of-the-art security. Drop us an email at admin, at virtualpalace.com for a free discovery session. While stocks last. Well, stock will not run out, so just call us.
Let us know.
Drop us an email. My name is Sean.
And I'm Jay.
Welcome to 2022.
Happy New Year, everybody.
So everybody's talking about this New Year, New Me, New Year. Everybody's feeling this whole thing like last working day of the year, which is on a Friday at 6 p.m. And then, you know, first working day of the year, which is on a Monday at 9 a.m. So it just feels like you've gone past the weekend. But does it feel like the world has really, the year has really changed?
No, I like to describe this whole New Year, new thing resolution like this. You know, there's this one TikTok video that they say, like, if you take a dump at 11:59 p.m. and it turns to 12 a.m. in the morning, it's the same shit, just a different day, you know?
No, but you can also say that if you start dumping at 11:59 p.m. and you finish dumping at 12:02 a.m.
Yep.
You've essentially dumped twice in 2 days.
That means you had a very good dump. You had good mamams the day.
Your dump lasted one whole day.
Yes.
Okay, enough about dumps. Let's talk about what's the news for the week. So this is a very thin news week because everybody who has been reporting all the news are out on holidays. We managed to scour for quite interesting topics to talk about this week. The first one is social commerce expected to grow to $1.2 trillion by 2025. According to Accenture, social commerce will hit an all-time high of $1.2 trillion in 3 years' time. Social commerce is essentially shopping done entirely within the social media platforms like Facebook, TikTok, and WeChat.
Yep.
This growth will be driven primarily by millennials and Gen Z, who are expected to account for around 60% of the spending. The audience also prefers buying from smaller mom and pop shops over established brands. That's good news and good to hear because I guess it's time that the smaller establishments are awarded some opportunity against all these big brands, right? And because when the small ones start to thrive, at least the big ones will feel as if they need to compete. If not, they just stay at the status quo. They don't have to worry because everybody will buy their stuff.
Correct.
So this report is actually based on a study of 10,000 social media users in China, India, Brazil, and US, and the UK, conducted between 12 August and 3rd September 2021. Social commerce, what do you think?
I mean, like, let's not forget, okay, remember we just talked about like the platforms like Facebook, TikTok, and WeChat, but there's other platforms as well that is moving into shopping. Let's not forget Twitter and the whole they are trying to bring in with the NFTs as well. And that has been a really big thing in the past in 2021.
Technically NFT shopping on Twitter is commerce shopping, is social shopping, right? I mean, you are buying something, so it's technically shopping. It's social commerce. There's transaction going on. Social commerce, regardless of whether the currency you're using is it's fiat or not. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of things that it's moving into platforms, it's moving into social platforms. Like, people want you to purchase from social platforms instead of being out there physically. You know, we're moving fully towards the digital realm. And I like this approach because if we're really moving into like the whole metaverse and stuff like that, you know, at this point, you can see the direction that it is going towards there, and
you can buy things. You can start buying things within the metaverse,
exactly.
which is in essence a social platform.
So I mean, guys, better check this out. And hear our news more to not be left out. You know.
Yeah, I do have to say, right? $1.2 trillion is in the air for businesses who are selling products and services.
Yep.
And if you're not on social commerce, if you're not participating on social commerce, you will not have this pie, this piece of the $1.2 trillion pie. And if you're a business selling something and you're still using like a brick and mortar way of selling stuff and you don't want to use platforms that have a social capability, yeah, you should. do something about that. You maybe you can try starting up a website.
Yep. I mean, hey, we're offering it for $100 only. You know, while stocks last. It's not while stocks last. It's, don't worry, just come.
Just come, just come.
Just
yeah.
come, we'll help you out, you know. But yeah, I really like this because we can see a very huge growth in the online shopping platforms nowadays.
Yep.
And people are going to be stuck into it. You know, you're going to see less and less people. Shopping malls are slowly going to be... I don't want to say this. I love malls. There might be a possibility that they might be obsolete in the far future.
I don't think it'll be obsolete because shopping malls, I think, will be... will be transformed into what they called an experience, an optional experience. Mm. Like, you don't have to go to shopping malls to buy something.
All right.
But you would love to do it because it gives you an experience.
Just
but it's optional.
Yeah. Feel the item
but it's stuff. Optional, yep. right? So, yeah. And yeah, for those who were, let's say, I mean, when we talked about, you know, setting up a website, for a commerce, an e-commerce website, you know, some people might be asking, well, social commerce is not a website. True, but at this point of time, a lot of social, most, I think, if not all social media platforms, aside from WeChat, cannot do in-app purchases,
correct.
Which means that you cannot transact, you cannot check out an item from within an Instagram or a Facebook page. It has to go somewhere.
Yeah.
It's either if you are really, really small size, you gotta text them, PM for price kind of
yeah.
thing. And then you do a bank transfer, or up to, there is a link on the product from Instagram or Facebook that brings you to an external website where the checkout happens. So you still need a website to do that. This may change in the next few years, but it may not change. Either way, having a website gives you an option. You can either send them out or they can pay inside. So at the end of the day, it's not about us businesses directing customers where they want to go. We need to be where the customers feel most comfortable.
Correct.
So if they prefer to pay on website, that's where you should set it up. If they prefer to pay on the social platform in the future, that's where they can pay. So having the option is good.
I think having, yeah, primarily having the option is good, but I still think that social commerce, if they really want people to stick on their platforms longer, I think they should actually have like a payment transaction within the platform itself.
Yes, they're working on that. But it's very, very, very technical because a lot of governments and organizations are not allowing Facebook to make this happen.
I mean, like Facebook still has a lot of dirt.
It's a Facebook thing. Yeah,
yeah, it's a Facebook thing already at
it's
this point.
It's a Facebook problem. Face problem.
Face problem. Like literally, you know, pun intended. All right, with that, up next, Twitter sells from MoPub to App Loving for 1.05 billion in cash. Although MoPub helped bring in over 199 million in revenue in 2020, Twitter believes cashing out will allow it to direct resources towards building its own ad platforms. On top of that, Twitter may also be able to fund other supplementary projects that increase its value as a social platform. I was quite in a shock. I mean, like, MoPub actually brought in revenue. I was kind of perplexed why they actually sold it. I mean, like, usually if people see something that if it's bringing in money towards the company, they would probably want to keep it instead of selling it off. What do you
think
about this?
Yeah, I think I have two speculations to this. First one is MoPub was a purchased platform. Mm-hmm. It wasn't built internally by Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
So I think compatibility is an issue. Or maybe they feel that MoPub has reached its maximum... I guess capability
mm-hmm.
that it cannot be further improved upon.
Okay.
So they feel as if they were to cash it out, I mean, it's $1.05 billion cash.
Yep.
It's not like in
staggered payments.
Staggered payments, or you know, in exchange for you know share of something, it's cash. So with that money, Twitter can easily just build another similar platform.
Okay.
When you build it internally, it's more kind of like it's more. It works better. It's more cohesive with Twitter's overall direction. So because it works so well, then you know they can stack it up. They can build it how they like it. So it's a lot easier to control and to grow in the future. But I also think that Twitter wants to use all this money to build other stuff as well. I mean, you know, they bought some companies like Revue and all that. They are investing a lot in Twitter Spaces.
Yeah.
And I think having this money can push it further in competition with Clubhouse.
Oh, I guess Twitter is going to develop a lot of new things with this amount of money that they have. I just hope they don't copy other platforms. Like Instagram, I'm not watching you, but...
Well, yeah. Everybody's copying everybody these days, so it's hard to tell. Anyhow, moving on. Facebook removes some sensitive targeting options. Come January 19th, Facebook will no longer allow advertisers to target users based on the following sensitive categories. The first one is health causes, which includes breast cancer awareness, sexual orientation, for example, LGBT, religious practices and groups, for example, Catholic Church, political beliefs, for example, social issues, causes, organizations, and figures, as in politicians. Facebook says that these four categories were rarely used anyway and would hardly affect most advertisers. So this is how it works, right? Come January 19th, we cannot create new campaigns with new ad sets for these four categories. But if you already have an existing campaign with ad sets with these categories, you can still make campaign-level edits without harming its performance until March 17.
Oh, okay.
So campaign level means that you can change the objective, you can change budget, right? Provided your budget is set on campaign level instead of ad set level. But if you make any ad set level triggers, it will change the audience changes. It will kind of like trigger the audience change. That means, let's say for example, you have one campaign that has four ad sets that target breast cancer, right? Okay. Breast cancer awareness. If I were to change the campaign level site, if I were to change the objective, I change the budget, then it will still run. It will still be able to target people who are related to breast cancer awareness. But if I make any ad set level changes, like for example, I change the demographics, or I change the location, I change the age group and things like that, it automatically triggers to disable the ability to target these four sensitive categories. So this only happens until March 17. After March 17, all advertisements, all campaigns that target these four categories can no longer work, and you can no longer create new campaigns for these four categories.
So essentially, you need to start fresh back again.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, like overall, I understand why, you know, you won't be able to target these specific users. But the thing that actually caught me off guard was, okay, so I understand for sexual orientation, religious practices and groups and political beliefs. Political beliefs is one thing that...
Yeah, that's the most controversial one, right?
You know,
yeah.
A lot of people, you know, that's the thing, the power of media, they can actually change people's perspective on things, a lot of things. And like with religious practices and sexual orientations, I mean, like probably religious practices, you get bashed here and there, as well as, you know, sexual orientation. But the one that actually caught me off guard was health causes.
Yeah.
I mean, I always believe that, you know, having awareness for all of this and knowing, like, for instance, breast cancer, it's a legit thing, you know, and also a lot of people out there has experienced that, and people want to know how I can acknowledge this or where can I go and check it up. So I don't understand why did they remove that. What do you think?
I don't understand it either, because of all these three, I think it's easy to turn it against people because there's so much hate going on, right?
Yep.
Because that's how the whole thing started anyway, right? It's because of all this targeting and discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
But breast cancer awareness, or you know, prostate cancer awareness, or whatever health related issues, I don't think that is an issue. I think that in turn actually helps people find content better. Maybe it has something to do with traditional medications that are targeting these people, because traditional medication is a very iffy thing, right? It can pass as a supplement or I guess a digestive or something. I don't know.
I guess when you bring this up, it make kind of sense to me, because not just going to simply put in words here and there, because I've noticed a lot of this, you know, this all these MLM kind of schemes whereby they sell products, and I noticed they advertise about saying, oh, this can cure cancer and stuff like that. That is deception, you know. These kind of situations, we never know really does it work or not, and it's, you do say, oh, it really works and stuff like that, but so far I haven't seen any results. I think probably that's why they put in health courses.
Well, but then again, Facebook already has a very tight algorithm
for MLMs, right?
Protect against all these like you said, right, deceptive captions or deceptive claims. And I don't know, I mean, yeah, it baffles me as well. But that's it, right? That's it. It is still possible for advertisers to target users based on these categories without looking at these categories. Yep. It is actually based on the behavior. So you ask yourself a question, like, as advertisers, what we do is we ask the question, say, for example, breast cancer awareness, right? Breast cancer awareness, so we look at people who have potentially have breast cancer.
Yep.
So maybe we look at women from the age of X to Y, and then we look at their interests.
Correct.
What are the things that they usually focus in?
Well, like usually situations like this, health-conscious people, you know?
Health-conscious people, or maybe people who have suspected something, or maybe they're making changes in their dietary because they suspect something. So then based on all these behaviors, yes, there is a chance that you also hit a larger set of other people as well.
Yep.
But it increased by doing this profiling, it actually helps you increase the chance of reaching the audience that you want. And same with LGBT as well.
Yep.
So you try to figure out what is their, depending on which part of the world they are, where do they usually hang out? What do they usually do? What do they usually buy? What do they usually consume? And based on that, you can actually narrow down to
specific categories.
Specific categories. Mm-hmm. Not by not pinpointing there, but there is a workaround. It requires a bit of work. Yeah.
But do you think with all of this, will we still able to actually like work our way around targeting individuals?
It's not as easy as before. It requires a bit of work, like I said. Requires a bit of understanding of your audience. Say for example, just let's just say, I mean, I'm overgeneralizing it.
Okay.
If suddenly the LGBT group people prefer to wear skinny jeans, right? And there are a few top brands that they prefer to buy from.
Okay.
Right. Then you look at these kind of, you know, you look at skinny jeans, you look at these top brands, and then from there, the chance of targeting them is higher. It's not direct, but it's higher. You also hit people who are non-LGBT, who also like skinny jeans, who also buy from them, but you will have a higher chance of hitting the LGBT group.
I mean, like, that's how we all have been doing things. I mean, like, indirect targeting, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, like, I mean, so guys, if you guys are ever looking for social media management, do let us know as well.
We know how to do stuff like this.
Yes, we do indirect things, you know, and like people don't see it coming. It's like, what is this?
Yeah.
So do check us out as well. All right, with that, up next, Snapchat pays over $250 million to Spotlight creators. Snapchat Spotlight is its version of TikTok with a little twist. While TikTok and other similar platforms work primarily with video cuts and audio, Snapchat creators add AR effects to them. Makes sense, since AR is a Snapchat thing, you know? As the company celebrates its 1-year anniversary of Spotlight, it announced that over $250 million was given away to creators. Snap says the payout has been positively leading to higher quality content on its platform. So yeah, Snapchat is taking a big step on AR.
Yeah. I just checked in the list of most downloaded apps in the US. No, actually globally.
Okay.
At the end of the year, Snapchat is still number 4. So although people here, I mean, you and I don't use Snapchat, but a lot of Malaysians are on Snapchat.
Yep.
A lot of them, and they love it because Snapchat is a more positive and supportive community versus Facebook and Instagram. Because you know how Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok is a little bit more mainstream, so there's a lot of bashing going on, a lot of haters going on, a lot of trolls going on.
Correct.
Snapchat is a lot more supportive. Not to say that it's the most. It's like just very supportive. There is no bashing. There'll be trolls everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I do like that Snapchat is actively paying creators to post stuff on Spotlight. But that's it. I've checked all the TikTok and TikTok similar platforms. I can tell you, it's all the same. They create on one place and then they post on all platforms.
Yep.
So whatever you see on TikTok, you find in Reels. Whatever you find in Reels, you find in Spotlight. It's essentially the same thing.
Just copy paste. I mean, like, either way, also it's the same sort of layout.
Yeah.
So might as
the
well.
The best creators on Snapchat actually use AR lenses on it, so it kind of creates a different depth. But at the end of the day, majority of them is just exactly the same thing recycled here and there. So it's there's no creative. I wouldn't say there's no creativity, but there is no specialty. There is no uniqueness in the platforms left.
I think the only thing that is the uniqueness, I mean, like, there is some sort of uniqueness in each of its platform, but it's just that it's very subtle, to be honest.
Yeah,
compared to, because the main things that we see, like, everybody is copying each other. And because everybody is copying each other, because that way is what everybody is using at this point, you know, like, for instance, how TikTok Reels and all of that. So,
but at least one thing for me about with Snapchat, I always like the AR effect.
Yeah.
I mean, they started off with that.
I agree.
Kudos to Snapchat, though. At least
I'm glad that they are doing quite well. You know,
yes.
For a fact that both of us are not using Snapchat and they are still doing quite well and being number 4 at the most
downloaded
app. So, kudos to you, Snapchat.
I'm quite happy. Snapchat is doing well.
So, I mean, like, besides that, what do you think about this? Like, the whole over 25 million to Spotlight creators?
I think it's good that they're paying $250 million for creators.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's a kind of thing where you bring me here as a creator, right? I go in because you want me to create content on Spotlight. And if I am a good creator and I use AR lenses, that's good, because AR lenses are not found on TikTok. Not so much on Reels either.
Yep.
So it's a Snapchat thing.
Correct.
But if I don't use AR lenses and I create content and I become one of the best creator and you pay me a part of the 250 million and then after that is over, you don't pay me anymore, then what happens is I can always go elsewhere.
Correct.
So I will go where my audience is, not where the money is, right? Because where your audience is, the more audience, the money will follow.
Correct.
And this is a good short-term plug, but in the long run, we don't know if people actually stay after Snapchat stopping.
Yep. So Snapchat, I think that's something that you need to check it out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
All right. With that, Social Media Weekly Podcast is available on Anchor FM, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. Our full video is available on YouTube and
post bits and clips on Instagram and Facebook.
Using a radio voice. Your late night radio voice.
I want to try something new. Okay. your turn.
If you like Social Media Weekly, it would really help if you would rate and review it on a podcast feeder of your choice and on YouTube so more can discover it. Social Media Weekly is on the lookout for regular co-hosts to help us bring some depth to the show. If you're interested, simply drop me an email at Sean, that is SHAWN, at virtualpeddlers.com.
Can I?
All right! let's apply for Hits FM or something.
Yeah. I mean, like, we can start applying for our... We can do this, like, every time for our podcast.
Okay, we can start doing that. This is Social Media Weekly, episode 5th January 2022. My name is Sean.
And I am Jaypal Singh Sandhu. I bid you adieu.
We will see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye.